back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, as we do each week at this time, Kyle Malin, editor of the MERS newsletter and columnist for City Pulse. Hello, Kyle. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Jack?
Just fine. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about this countdown. I've seen a lot of countdown clocks lately,
and they
had one last week in the Michigan State football building, believe it or not, counting down to the Northern Colorado game.
Oh, God.
Not quite sure why, but I did want to talk to you about the countdown to the state budget shutdown, and we've gotten kind of used to this.
Yeah, but there isn't going to be a shutdown, though, Jack. I mean, you could probably just hit reset on the clock right now. As we speak right now, the House and the Senate are trading the last few budget bills right now, and there really isn't any substantive debate on either of the two budgets in question. All the details have been ironed out. They sufficiently punted many of the tough issues to the next administration. They've balanced the budget on a lot of one-time money again, a lot of mystery money and assumptions here and assumptions there. And at the end of the day, I think they're going to get this thing. The legislature is going to get it passed today and not even have to show up to work tomorrow.
Well, if they can get it done today, a day early, does that make up for what happened the last couple of years? Does that mean on average that they've been on time?
Yeah, you would think so. No, I don't think so. I mean, the reality is that September 30 is when the budget should actually be signed by the governor and been given effect. I mean, the governor hasn't seen the budgets that they're working on right now. So I don't know how she's going to handle that. She's going to have basically a day to read the general government budget, which is enormous, the transportation budget, which is enormous, and the Department of Human Services budget, also an enormous budget. So, you know, there's really not a lot of victories here. There shouldn't be a lot of backslapping. I mean, it's not like there was a lot of hard decisions made here. Really the problems that were supposed to be solved in this budget have just been essentially punted to the next administration.
So this projected $484 million deficit, have they got that figured out? Is that what this is going to do?
Well, you know, really the number that we should be focused on is a $1.6 billion projected deficit for the next fiscal year, the one that's starting on October 1, 2011.
Okay.
The first budget that Rick Snyder or Virge Bonaro is going to have to solve. I mean, you know, Jennifer Granholm talked when she took office about the mess that John Engler left her. And then, of course, John Engler complained about the mess Jim Blanchard left him. And there is going to be a mess that is going to be left for the next administration. You know, the folks who are going out the door in the Senate, it's you know, two-thirds, three-quarters of their members. This is their last budget. They're not in any type of spirits to make any long-standing changes to our tax structure to make it a structurally sound budget. You know, there's no talk of increasing any gas tax to stabilize that funding at all. It's just, you know, what kind of duct tape and bail wire can we find to wrap this budget up to coast us until we're out of this building?
Yeah, and I guess it would be entirely unreasonable to expect any incoming governor to say, hey, I want to thank my predecessor for leaving in such a fantastic condition here. I really don't have much to do, especially when it's someone of another party. So you know that they're always going to blame their predecessor.
Yeah, they always will. But, you know, in this case, you know, this has been a very tough economic situation for the state of Michigan. I mean, there's no question about that. And, you know, there's no debate that there has to be tough decisions to, quote-unquote, structurally balance the budget. But on the same hand, that's what you're elected to do, you know, I guess is my take. And so, you know, it's frustrating that it doesn't happen. But then again, I think we're kind of used to it in this town, and there's just kind of a sad acceptance of it.
Yeah, I think that kind of we've gotten used to that, and we've gotten used to a lot of the charges that are flying around this time of year. I guess I've just started tuning out all television commercials about the campaign. I just figure whatever they are, they're so Trump, they're either trumped up or exaggerated that I'm just going to completely disregard them.
You know, I think there's a couple things I wanted to touch on here. First, just getting back to the budget, I just wanted to explain kind of a one story that kind of symbolizes what I'm talking about. This Department of Transportation budget that they're passing right now, you know, there's $84 million that the state has to come up with if we're going to get $500 million in federal money to fix our roads. Okay, $84 million. Now, the Republicans were looking at cutting some key programs like our 21st Century Jobs Fund and some programs for the mentally ill and so forth. And the Democrats really wanted to raise the gas tax. Okay, so they're at complete loggerheads on what to do with this. And so the solution is to float a $40 million short-term note. So basically an IOU. Create this money out of thin air and then find a penny here, a penny there, cash in on some bottles and the rest, and voila, I guess we come to $84 million this year without really looking into 2012, 2013 when the hole just gets wider and wider and wider. I mean, there's just no recognition on how are we going to fix this in the long term. But the television commercials, too, are hilarious. You know, I actually love watching television commercials because, you know, it's my job, and I like to see what one side's saying, what's the other side saying. But I think it is nauseating for the public, which is why I think Rick Snyder's television commercials have been so effective. They've been so different than what we've seen out of politicians in the past. They're getting people's attention, and they're increasing his favorabilities to the point where he doesn't have to even go on the attack of Verge Bonero. Yeah. His positives are so high that I think even attacking Verge Bonero does nothing to him even widening the polls. There's no reason to. I mean, he's come off with a fresh, new, different angle that is so anti-politician, it feeds right into what folks really want right now.
Perfect timing, yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Folks are tired of politicians. That's what we keep hearing this time in and time out. You know, the one race, I think, on the statewide level that's actually competitive is actually this attorney general's race with Bill Schuette and David Layton. And one of the reasons, I think, is that Bill Schuette is, out of the two of them, the most, I guess, polished or the most well-known politician of the two of them. He's had a career in politics, and for once, being a good politician is a negative, a real negative going into a campaign, and it gives the Democrats actually a shot.
Kyle Malin, our guest, the editor of MERS Newsletter and columnist of City Pulse and panelist on Off the Record, and can't keep track of all the hats he wears. Kyle, I want to ask you a question kind of out of left field. We've been talking about it earlier in the show, and there's a story flying around today regarding an alleged sexual assault. And there was no prosecution involved from Stuart Dunnings.
Yeah.
In the past, I can tell you from my days at the Lansing State Journal, this never would have seen the light of day. This has changed a little bit now in a different age. When does something like this become a news story?
Yeah, you know, actually, I knew you were going to ask me about this, so it's not actually out of left field. I think that's because we're both sports journalists in heart, aren't we? No, when does it become a news story? You know, there was a complaint filed, you know, and, you know, it was a complaint filed by an individual, and the prosecutor decided not to go anywhere with it. You know, people make claims on this, that, and the other thing, and, you know, in this case, you know, I would argue that there is, I suppose, something to the fact that somebody had made this claim. And the fact that the two basketball players who were to have alleged made this assault, their names were not made public, I think, you know, helps the situation. But, you know, I guess I would argue that somebody is coming forward and making some kind of claim against somebody in our greater community that we know and follow, and they're a figure, you know, they're in this case a sports figure, and you know, it's interesting to know. But I think, you know, we also have to be quick to say that the prosecutor, who has not been hesitant to prosecute famous people like our, you know, our eight people on the Michigan State football team in the past, has decided not to do anything with it. Okay, right. So there's a claim out there, that is true. But the prosecutor decided that there wasn't anything that he could do with it and decided to let dead dogs lie, I guess.
Well, I think that we can agree that sexual assault is one of the most reprehensible crimes we know, and if someone is guilty of that, we want to see them prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I think it is also, there's a problem when, let's say there is an allegation against a group and the individuals are not named.
Yeah.
It casts aspersions on the entire group. If someone said that two members of the off-the-record panels, you know, were guilty of some crime, whatever it would be, and there aren't any names, now suddenly everyone who's ever appeared on the show, you know, is implicated in it to some degree. And we don't know what happened. None of us were there.
Mm-hmm.
We only know what the prosecutor's office has determined is worth prosecuting. So it's a tough decision for a lot of people, and news outlets, as you see today, are handling it in very different ways.
Yeah, they are. And you know, it is tough, especially on a college campus, and just because there's so many variables
right
at play here. I mean, it sounds like there was a little alcohol, and you know, who knows what exactly went on and how things happened. You know, Ben Roethlisberger, you know, didn't he get rung, you know, just dragged through the ringer too? And I don't know if there was ever any real legal action taken on that either, you know.
And he was suspended.
He was suspended, and that was just an allegation as it ended up being, isn't that right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard, and so that's why, well, I think that it's probably important that we put it out there at least. I don't think that it should be overblown, and I hope that there's a public recognition that while somebody is making this allegation and is willing to talk about it to the, in this case, the Michigan Messenger, the ones who are writing the story, you know, that in the end, you know, there was nothing that was done on it because there wasn't anything that they saw that they could prosecute on. I mean, I think Stuart Dunnings, what it says here, did all that he could to give this a fair look. He had a couple of his female prosecutors right. look at it, and in the end, he just didn't think it would stick. And so,
and there was an opportunity to appeal or to come forward and ask that it be pressed, and that did not occur either for whatever reason. And again, we're trying to predict motivations for people, which is always very difficult.
Yeah, you know, and maybe in the, you know, and there's also, you know, what was going through her mind at the time, and,
right.
you know, and then when she had some time to think about it afterwards, you know, maybe afterwards she had a different, you know, thought on what the experience was like, you know, and, you know, who knows, you know, and now we're even speculating.
Sure.
It's kind of, you know, we probably shouldn't even be doing that, and so, you know, just take it for what it is, and I think move on. And I think that the Michigan State basketball program in general has, you know, shown to be a standout, you know, program. And when it's all said and done, I don't think that this is really going to stick in people's mind more than, you know, a week or two.
It usually comes down to a matter of trust in cases like this. Do you trust your prosecutor? Do you trust
yeah.
your basketball coach? Who do you trust? And that's what you, as an individual, are probably going to decide.
Yeah.
Kyle Malin, the editor of the MERS newsletter, columnist, the City Pulse. Kyle, I'm glad you're not going to be there after midnight tomorrow.
Oh, God. I'm much more glad than you, trust me.